Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the things that struck me today is that first reading that we had. Well, not the first reading, but the epistle reading. And it so led me to say, are we still sinners? Oh, but now let me read this to you again. And I'm in the epistle. This is on page 4, if you want to look at it, starting in verse 4. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. Now here's where it gets interesting. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Now, as I read that, the thing that strikes out in me, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Boy, if looking at that, it almost tells us that, you know, once we're saved, we don't sin. But we know that that's not the case. Interesting, isn't it? Who has been the only perfect man in all of history? Jesus. Well, you all answered that one in real quick. Okay. So Jesus is the only one who was perfect. Okay. And why did he have to be perfect? So he could go and be the lamb without blemish to the cross to be our sacrifice. Okay. So he couldn't be a sinner. Now, are we the same way he is? No. Okay, when we talk about faith, is it our faith or his faith that we use? It's his faith, okay? When we talk about forgiveness, is it our forgiveness or his forgiveness? His forgiveness. So when we start looking at this, the power of all of this does not come from us. It comes from Jesus. All right, so when I see this, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning, so no one who keeps on sinning has either seen him. All right, now here's the thing. Look at that next sentence with me. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness. You know, we talked about last week the practice of medicine. Okay, does that mean if you practice something, you're perfect or you're striving to be perfect? Striving, okay? So whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. So we know that we are practicing because we need to be righteous. Make sense? You following me on this? All right, so if we're not righteous to begin with, we practice it so we can become righteous. All right? So when we talk about no one who abides in him keeps on sinning, no one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. But we know our sins are forgiven. But does that mean that we're perfect? No, the old Adam's always in us, right? Man, I mean, when you go into that whole concept of original sin, you know, I had somebody argue with me one time, well, a baby doesn't sin. No, the baby has the propensity to sin. Okay, that's a fancy word that says that somewhere along the line he's going to sin. When we're forgiven, does that mean your sinning stops? No. So the thing is, we still have the propensity to sin in us. But what do we do to get rid of that? You ask for forgiveness. I mean, it's real easy, but you got to do it. And as we know, it's with a pure and contrite heart. Gene, go ahead.
When it says practicing righteousness, That's reading the Bible daily.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to talk about his word here in a minute. Thank you for bringing that up. Let me ask you this. What's the biggest sin? What's the only unforgivable sin? Rejecting the Holy Spirit, right? Okay, so not believing in Christ, since, you know, we're talking the Trinity, God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit are the same thing, is the sin. Now, I was trying to think, how am I going to present this? So I got out my book, says what Luther says. Okay, and remember, this is, Luther's not a God or anything, he's just a good pastor. Although he had his moments too, just like all the rest of us. But there's a couple of things in here I really want to read to you. All right, this is from a sermon that he did on 1 John 16:5-15. And it's about verse 9, which is just about where we were in this whole area. The 1 John is really an exposition on a single thought, and that's sinning and this kind of thing. All right, not believing in Christ is the sin. Who of all the wise and learned on earth has ever heard such a thing? And what books is it written that sin means not believing in Jesus of Nazareth? Does not Moses himself and all the world call that sin? And that is strengthened, okay? Which is done against the law, whether by commission or omission, in words and deeds, and also in thoughts. You know, so you can put on this real private exterior, but the first time that you start doing things internally, is that still a sin? Okay? You didn't sin in the real world, but you sinned in your mind. So there is still sin there. Well, the child has received its name, and the article has been decreed and established by the Holy Ghost that this lack of faith in Christ is the sin of the world. Not that there is no sin against the law without this unbelief, but that this is the real principal sin, which damns all the world, even though one were not able to accuse it of any other sin. All right, so what is he saying here? That if you don't believe in God, if you don't believe in Christ, don't believe in the Holy Spirit, there's the sin. That's the biggest sin there is. All right, so sometimes if you say to yourself, you know, I don't know, sometimes I doubt. You just sinned, didn't you? Well, we're human. We do things like that. I had, when I was doing my vicarage year, I was at the VA hospital in Cincinnati, retired Lutheran pastor. And I was sitting there because he was just getting ready to make his transition into the afterlife. And he says, I don't think I believe. And I said, Pastor, you put in your whole life leading people to Christ. How can you say that? He said, I've always doubted. You know, what do you say to somebody like that? Well, I said, Pastor, why do you doubt? He said, I'm just not sure it's true. I said, do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, yeah. Okay. Do you believe that when you ask for forgiveness of sins, your sins are forgiven? Well, yeah. So what do you not believe? I hadn't thought of it that way. I said, so when we talk about faith, are we talking about your faith or Jesus' faith acting in us? Well, it's Jesus' faith acting in us. So when we're talking forgiveness or any of this stuff, is it our power or is it Jesus' power working in us? Jesus' power. Okay, so part of the thing is, as we start looking at this, you know, our minds want to go back and say, I'm in control. And I think that's what the pastor was hitting. All right? Since I'm in control, how do I know that this is real? Because remember, faith is a belief in things unseen. All right? Here's the very next thing. Okay. And so Luther pleads, and this is continuing in this narrative, for your own sake, for God and Christ's sake, stop the suicidal folly of rejecting the Savior and trying to save yourself. With this thought, the doctor closes an Easter sermon of April 17th, 1530 in Mark 16, verses 1 to 8. Now stop and think. 1530, we're almost at 2030, right? That's 500 years ago. Does that mean that truth is not truth because it's 500 years old? No. All right, here's what he said. Let Christ be Christ the Savior. And this is written down from his sermon. Figure it out for yourself. If you want to abolish sin, you not only wrong sin, but you also want to trespass on the office of Christ. You can't do it. He can do it. Right? Okay. And say, I want to be Christ. I'm the one that's important. You know, one of the things about our day today is it's me, 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 I. The only time any organization makes it is when it's we, us, not me, I. When I look at our country right now, so many problems are coming because we've lost the we and the us, and it's me and I. Okay? We hold these truths to be self-evident. We hold. All right, this is an undertaking to do more by yourself than what God does. This is the sin supreme. There we are again. Okay, I'm more important than God. For God's sake, do not try it. Of course, my dad always said, for Christ's sake, but I don't think he meant it that way. Rather, let Christ remain Christ. Let him keep his office, prophet, priest, and king. We have enough other sins to answer for. Pretty good sermon for 500 years ago, isn't it? In this way, we alone, by the grace of God, preach the use and benefit of Christ's resurrection. Everything in history, if it's past the cross, goes back to it. If it's before the cross, goes forward to it. There's what's important. For God so loved the world that he sent himself to die for us. Only guard yourselves against imagining that you can do it all. You and I and all of us together must study this lesson as long as we live. God grant that we learn it well. And the next part is, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He's working his way through here. But here's the last thing I want to share out of this book. Okay, this is forgiveness of sins, then, is a gift by the grace of God, no more, no less. What is grace? I mean, it's the first thing up there, right? Grace. What's grace? Good question. Ooh. Carolyn, say that again. Say it again. Undeserved kindness. God's favor is with us even though we don't deserve it and we can't earn it. Okay, remission of sins is a gift, pure and simple. This is from a lecture he did in one of his classes on Genesis 42, verses 6 and 7. God says, I forgive your sins for nothing without any merit of your own. Why? Because it's not up to you. Not because of your penitence or because of your satisfaction, for sin cannot be expiated. Oh, there's a nice word. That means you can't get rid of it by us. Or to put it this way, satisfaction for sin cannot come through our efforts. It comes through the efforts of the Son of God. All right. So when we're talking about sin, are we once saved, always saved? Well, in some respects, yes, aren't we? But what do we have to do to get back in the grace of God? Ask for forgiveness. Is it freely given? You know, and that's the thing. The old Adam is always in us. It's one thing you cannot get away from. It's always there. But as God's children, you know, and I love this when, in 1 John, he says at the end of this, little children, aren't we children of God? Aren't we the little kid up there in the painting or in the tapestry? Let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteous is righteous. All right. As long as you work toward it, is it good? Do we have to be perfect to attain it? No. Because if that was the case, we couldn't do it. Remember what happened to the Jews. God gave us 10 commandments. Man turned it into 613. Why? Oh, we got to cover every little detail. Well, God didn't care about that. God gave you 10. You know, and that's the thing is, we are always striving to say, well, I got to be perfect. We're not perfect. Remember when I've preached on this here, if you do 51%, are you on the good side? Yes. Don't expect yourself to be perfect. Yeah, we want to be up in the 90. I went to high school with a kid by the name of Steve Kirschenbaum. All Steve did was study. He's a major doctor back east right now. And Steve, I mean, great, great mind. But yet, when you start looking at it, is that the most important thing in the world? No. You know, when we start looking at God, what's important? That we act as one of God's children and we always strive to do better. If we do that, aren't we doing well? So, are we still sinners? Yes. And as Luther said, if you must sin, sin boldly.
Do it upright.
Do it upright. And then, boy, you better go and say, God, I need help. But you see what I'm getting at? We are sinners. We will sin. It's okay. Ask for forgiveness. Well, I hope today this can help clear up a few things in your mind about why we believe we're sinners. Because we are. But through the grace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on the forgiveness of Christ Jesus. Amen.